Let's open our Bibles. Praise God. Getting into Romans, and tonight, God willing, we'll begin, and truly it is a launch into this precious 16th chapter of Romans. And don't get anxious, because we're going to wait on the Lord. And I'll be here to testify to you. We don't even scratch the surface. We're just looking upon it, and how much is here. It is just overwhelming. And this isn't to pump up or oversell. You couldn't. I mean, it's just the truth. And God willing, there is such treasure in all of the Word of God, and especially as the Lord and the Holy Ghost just continues to reveal this to us, but especially in this 16th chapter. So we're going to go on the Holy Ghost pace, and he's going to just, I believe, by the grace of God and in the name of Jesus, just more light upon light upon light. Now, this is a glorious conclusion here, in a sense, for this letter to the Romans. And as we'll see, this is quite a salutation here in the 16th chapter. And as we get into this, there are different ones that have written and have different opinions on this 16th chapter. There's many that believe that the first 21 verses of this 16th chapter are actually part of a letter to the church at Ephesus, to the Ephesians, as opposed to being written to the Romans, and then verses 22 through the end is to the Romans. So I can see some of the comments on that. I know Sister Bodie has even mentioned that, maybe had a leaning to that as well too. But as I meditate, and as the Holy Ghost just really had me thinking of this, especially this past week, the thing that matters, brothers and sisters, is this is written to the saints of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what matters. Where they're from, or who, in a sense. Now, it's always important to who the Word of God is being written to, especially in a sense of a believer, a non-believer. Is this someone that really knows the whole counsel of God? Those are important things to understand when Scripture is being read, and understanding, again, what the intent of it is. That's rightfully dividing the Word of God. But the thing that matters here is who these people are in Christ. That's the precious thing about this, and I thank God that's the treasure. And by grace, since it's to who they are in Christ, let me tell you something. I take that, and I say that's encouragement to me. This is for me. This is for you. This is encouragement to us, brothers and sisters, of the love of God, the spiritual perfection that, again, is being poured out through Brother Paul in encouraging these different saints in the truth and in fellowship, especially as we're getting into this, because there's a lot of saints that he's going to commend them to and tell them to salute and greet and all these different things. And, you know, sometimes we can get in a meeting and it can be us four and no more. And I pray, God, that would never be us. We want to rejoice and be thankful for anyone that has a heart for God, but especially has a heart for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You thrill for that. I mean, it's just the most precious thing. That's why I'm so grateful to God for these different meetings across the way that are preaching the whole counsel of God. And but again, it's the Lord, as the internet has even proven to that as well too. A few things the internet can do that are good is having these different ones from all over the world, just little pockets of people that, and I appreciate this, heard this more than once in Switzerland, a little couple in England as well too, that really thought there was nobody else on the planet but them, that were rejoicing truly in the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, in Paul's gospel, that Jesus Christ would have a bride. And praise the Lord, you know, to be able to have them, you know, just astonished that there's not only are there other people than them, but there's actually a church, and they get together, and there might be more than, you know, 20 people. Thank you, Jesus, for these things. And this is what's exciting, and Paul is encouraging them, and you can see this, because, see, that's how a lot of things go, because, see, the devil, he just wants to divide. It's all the devil wants us to do, is to build walls and say, okay, no, I'm from Paul, I'm from Cephas. You see how that went down so fast there. Paul is encouraging them again. No, you receive anyone who wants the whole counsel of God. Now, those that are going to twist the truth and try to distort things and all that, you get away from that. You just leave that alone. Just go away. You fellowship in the gospel of Christ, and you fellowship with those that love that. Amen. And this is what Paul, again, is telling these ones and tells them all throughout the Word of God, but especially here. But see, he's encouraging them to love one another and to receive one another because of the love of the truth. That's what it's about. It's the love of the truth. And we're going to see how everybody he's commending and everybody he tells them to salute and to greet, it's all because they've supported or preached or been encouraging on in Paul's gospel. There's a common theme. It wasn't because they had a big church. It wasn't because they had a lot of money. It wasn't because they had a lot of seminary experience. It wasn't because of anything else except one thing. They were helping with Paul's gospel. They were for that. It had penetrated them. They knew that that was the mark for the prize. And thanking God, again, that this was what the encouragement is and was. And see, when that happens, brothers and sisters, when that really hits our hearts, it doesn't matter where people are from. It really doesn't. When they love the truth, praise God, it's immediate. I was thinking again how Brother Hagin, how he hadn't been in the meeting for years and years. I'll tell you what, his praise and everything just right in. Because there's a oneness in Christ. That's it. The rib portion is even tightly fit and compacted together, that precious body. And I thank the Lord in that. And that's how, you get together with people that truly love the truth in that way. And I'll tell you what, there's just not a division there. It's just Christ, and he's the head, and everything comes from that head. So I want to emphasize, very much so, the big deal here is not to whom the letter is written to. The big deal is the love. Amen. That's the magnificent part of this. It's the agape, first love, bridal love. And it's about saints that truly are pressing toward the mark for the prize. And to know each other in that love, to know each other in that truth. And it is amazing, isn't it, brothers and sisters? And you've heard me say this before, even with ones we've met that we really don't know very well. And us, a lot of times, we don't live next to each other. We might not know intimately what we do in life and our work and things of that nature, but we know one another. We know one another. We rejoice. Praise God. We're talking bone of bone and flesh of flesh. This is the body of Christ, and it's pretty amazing when you think about, I've got an elbow bone and a forearm bone, and even beyond that, capillaries and all, just that's who we are in Christ. That's what God is encouraging us. This is how we know one another, and boy, I'll tell you, you begin to love that appearing, because that's the appearing of the Lord right now is in the saints. Amen? And that's where he is, hallelujah, in regard into that precious appearing. So we are encouraged in this marvelous fellowship, and by grace may we embrace it, and how much we need to live it to be ready and to win him. So let's go ahead and get into chapter 16, and we'll read verses 1 and 2. And he says here, this is Paul, he says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is in Chenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as become a saints, that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer of many and of myself also. So she was quite a helper here. And I love how Paul starts this whole thing out. And we're going to read of a lot of names here and a lot of encouragement. But you know, the one that he announces first, in a sense, and such a preeminent beginning, is a woman. Amen. And matter of fact, if you read into this and understand some of the translation here, she was a deaconess in a sense. I know they weren't really giving titles. I don't like that. We know it's just the Lord. But what Paul is saying here is, I commend her to you. And that means to stand with her. I endorse her in the Lord, is what Paul is saying. And even further, there is a calling upon this life in carrying, she carries an anointing to preach and to teach the word of God. And I just think that's wonderful. I just think that is so tremendous and so thankful to God as he's wrapping up things here. This is the first one he's going to bring to them, is it happens to be a vessel who happens to be a female vessel. And it's very encouraging how Paul isn't trying to, you know, say, well, I'm going to pick this one for this group and this one for this group and try to match it up. He's just looking for one thing. Do you love the truth? Do you stand for the truth? Do you want the truth? Praise God. And this is what Paul is endorsing here, again, is the gospel of Jesus Christ and the church, that precious mystery. And she was from a church, now get this as well too, in Corinth. Because you think about the Corinthians and things of that nature, and you'd say, my goodness, of all places, couldn't you get us somebody else than from Corinth? But yes, this was, praise the Lord, the very place that the Lord grew this precious sister up in him. And again, proving to everyone that nothing's hard for God. That there obviously was a little handful of saints. And we know that in reading the scriptures through Acts, that went on to be filled with all the fullness of God. And she did, because Paul, and she was filled with all the fullness of God, because Paul would never recommend anybody to anyone unless they were preaching the fully purposed gospel. Do you know that? Paul wouldn't refer somebody to you that would say, well, you know, he'll teach you salvation. That wasn't going to happen. He didn't refer people that say, well, you know, he's got a little bit of this, but not of that. Nope, it was always a fully purposed preaching. It was always a ministry of the whole counsel of God. And the Lord help us to pay attention to this. Not that Paul didn't rejoice however Christ was preached, because he did. But when he was going to encourage someone to listen to someone, when he was going to get after people like he did the Galatians, huh? You know that there was little bits and pieces of this, but where were they going again? Who hath bewitched you? And he went on to say, if anybody preaches, even myself, an angel, or anything like that, any other gospel than which I or we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Amen. This is what this gospel is, and this is how important it is to stand in defense, praise the Lord, of Paul's gospel. And we thank him for this, and this encouragement again of the Holy Ghost that puts this in our hearts. But this precious Phoebe that we read of here, her name means radiant. She's radiant, and how fitting for one who is so captivated and full of Paul's gospel. And all I can think of when I hear radiant is sun glory. Praise God. He radiates, not a reflection. There's a radiating. It's from within. Praise God. And I think about that bride. She's got the glory of Christ. She's got the glory of God. And she descends from heaven having the glory of God. It's in her. It's within her. It's with her. And this is that sun glory that is so prevalent in those saints, and this precious message that has been given to her. And Paul says to receive her in the Lord. Now, he's encouraging this. And maybe it was because these ones might be a little hesitant to receive a woman. Huh? You know how some people get all bent out of shape. Well, wait a second here. I know I read one verse that said this. Let me tell you something. I'm glad you read a verse, but you better know what that verse means in the context of the whole Word of God. And who knows? There could have been others. Oh, well, give me a break. This one's from Corinth. You know how wild and crazy they are. There couldn't be anything that comes out good out of that. Huh? You know they say that about this meeting, don't you? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise God that the love of the Lord, it does. It just makes you just a fool for Christ's sake. Hallelujah. But you see, he's telling them, when you receive each other, if you'll receive each other in the Lord, and really in the Lord, you only receive each other one way, and that's in love. Amen? See, when we truly receive in the Lord, does the Lord ever cast any of his children out? Does he, you know, just say, now just get away? And no. And even one that was hindered or harmed, the Lord would go to restore. That's that love of God that is always prevalent in the spiritual. But see, when you size up one another in receiving people, you know, again, the Word of God, it encourages, especially at that time, there's neither Jew nor Greek, nor bond nor free, nor male nor female. Amen? One in Christ? That's what the Word of God tells us. But you think about how, again, in Scripture, even those that really had heard the truth and had heard Paul's gospel, they were trying to separate by who their pastor was. Don't do that. Love the truth. Be thankful, especially people that love the Lord thy God in that regards of that whole council, and the ministers and teachers that teach that whole council. If the Lord gives me liberty to do it, God willing, I'll leave after service on Sunday morning, and I'm excited to go see this couple that had come and seen us in at the camp. But there's another couple I haven't met that actually goes in and teaches the Bible study to them and is preaching that whole council. And I want to meet them just to say, thank you, Jesus, for the love of the truth. And even if it is just a little handful of folks, that's even the more wonderful. That, praise God, that the satisfaction, the delight is not in a building. It's not in numbers. It's in praise be to God. The same reason we love to come together, because of that proposal of how much Jesus loves us. Amen? That's what it is. So we thank God again for these things. But see, mature saints, and this is so important. Mature saints, you want to be a mature saint? You receive one another in love. Nothing else. You don't give them the once and twice over and, well, we'll see about this. Or you've got to do these certain things to really enter in. No. Let me tell you something. That veil is rent in twain. Get in there. Don't delay. Praise the Lord. I am always excited about folks that'll come into the meeting and, you know, not just kind of sit back, but really there's just a panting. There is a desire to, you know, I'm going to the front row. And and you pray for one another, but man, let me tell you something. You better pray you can endure the front row, you know. Might find you back in the back row. I don't know, but and I'm not saying anything there, Brother and Sister Wilson. So, you know, I appreciate it. It's wonderful. God just bringing us in here. But you know what I'm saying. Don't we cheer one another on when we're running in for the things of Christ? Isn't it just the greatest thing? When the love of God gets a hold of us, and there isn't anything sweeter in life. And I mean it. You know, you can say, well, I hit the lotto and I did all of these types of things. But when you truly are transcended into that, from glory to glory to glory to glory, and people start running for the deep things of God, there's nothing greater. I mean, you are right there in the throne room, and you are dancing with Jesus and the Father, and it's just awesome because people are loving the Lord with all their heart, soul, and might. Praise God for that. That's it. So the Lord help us to get what reality is all about. But see, mature saints receive in love, but children, they look to pick fights. They want to ridicule one another. You know how kids can be. You know, we're going to get all these little cliques and separate and do that. That's children. Amen? That's childish Christians that do that. That's exactly what that is. So, Lord, help us to fight against that. That's just what the enemy wants to do, is to divide. And Paul says, you help her and assist her in whatsoever she needs. Because why? Because she supported and assisted. Listen to that. Because she supported and assisted Paul's gospel. That's the proof. It's all about the gospel. It's not good thoughts. It wasn't because of her deeds. It wasn't because of her ability. It wasn't because of her pedigree. It was all about, do you stand for the whole counsel of God or not? That's it. And when we start to look at anything else but that in someone's life, we veered off course. Because man will always fail. It will always happen. That's why it's so precious in every life. Praise God, especially that's going on with the Lord. There's testimony of the things of Christ in those in that life. Amen. But there's also things that that the Lord's working on. You rejoice in those weaknesses for them in the Lord because you know the Lord is able. But when you start magnifying the weaknesses in anybody and start looking at that as opposed to Christ in them, the hope of glory, you're going to miss any encouragement there ever could have been. Amen? Amen? Think about that. Every single one of us, everybody sitting here tonight, I know there are parts of every one of our lives that are not completely yielding to God. Amen? Amen. We know these things. The Lord's working on us. And I thank God for that. And some of these things from time to time become exposed to one another. All right? Whether God willed it or God allowed it, I don't know. But I know one thing. I'm still to see Christ in you. I want to be encouraged with Christ in you. We can be hurt by different things. We understand that. But when my obsession becomes the flesh, we're done. We're done. We will miss it. And that's exactly what Paul is encouraging here in this sister and every single one that he's going to mention here. It's because they stood and stood for my gospel. They helped me. They helped me in this dispensation, in this mystery that Christ gave to me. Treasure them. Treasure them for that reason only. Nothing else. That reason. Praise the Lord. All right. Let's go on. Verse 3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. See the theme again? My helpers in Christ. Paul's helper. Paul's gospel's helper. See, you even get away from seeing Paul in the sense of this vessel. See the message that Paul has. They're the Paul's gospel helper. Amen? That's what this is. And I thank the Lord because that's what they were helping. They weren't trying to help Paul get better physically. They weren't trying to help him financially. They weren't even trying to bust him out of jail. That wasn't what this whole thing was about. They weren't petitioning to say how unfair this was. Think about how man gets on a cause. All this was for was to continue to rejoice and pray and for the furtherance of that gospel. Amen? See how simple this is? It's about Jesus, isn't it? This is what this is about. And this message that I'm going to have a wife. Hallelujah. And I want it to be you. So, verse 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. And see, there they are again. This precious little odd couple. You go back in Acts. Speaks of them many times. But so beautifully in the love of God. I love that time when they were so powerfully anointed of the Lord to hear that precious brother Apollos giving a message and teaching and the zeal. And we read about Apollos and can really perceive that this was a very eloquent preacher. He was a man that there was a power in the presentation of how he could give and deliver a message. Very moving. People would come to hear him and things of that nature. Well, here was this little odd couple. And all they had was just a little, as Paul says, church and a house. Huh? Might have been just two of them sometimes in a mouse. You never know. But they just had a little group of people there. But yet they were encouraged of the Lord. And I'm sure they heard a lot of preachers. But this one, it's spoken of, that they were encouraged of the Lord to go get him. Not because of how much ability he had, not because of how incredible he could draw a crowd and boy, we could use him. I've heard people say that. I've heard even people that know the truth. Oh, that guy's got preaching ability. Stop it. That's ruined so many lives. So many lives. Paul was called to be an apostle by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And Paul didn't even know when to stop preaching. But that was the chosen vessel. Praise God. So, again, they went to this Apollos because the Lord encouraged them. He circled that brother out and said, let's go give him the whole counsel of God. Let's show him that way more perfectly. He really loves the Lord, but he doesn't know the truth, the depths of it. It's evident in what he's preaching or not preaching. But the Lord moved us to go get him. And bam, we know what happened. It hooked him. Hallelujah. The Lord encouraged him to be humble and to receive. Praise the Lord. He enlightened the eyes of his understanding that, you know what? It wasn't about crowds. It wasn't about how great a preacher I am. It's about this message. It's about this message, praise the Lord, that Jesus Christ is going to have a wife. And Apollos, praise the Lord, couldn't help but from that time on preach anything but. He went out there and preached with and was noted as of Cephas and of Paul and as of Christ. How awesome. So this is what this little couple, as Paul says, my helpers. They attended and preached Paul's gospel. And he says, I pray for the grace of God. And truly, I pray for the grace of God. That let that be us, brothers and sisters. Not just, again, this letter. This letter isn't going out, in a sense, to certain people in AD 60. This is going out to us today. This is for us today. And taking this same love and encouragement and appreciation for people that love the truth. And I do thank God. It's a treasure for people that love Paul's gospel to come here and preach to you because they are received in this manner. Be thankful for that. Don't be proud. But be thankful that we appreciate that. It doesn't matter where they come from, what they're preaching to. But man, when you're preaching that, we want to hear it. We rejoice in it. We are thankful. My goodness, nobody wants to hear me back home, but you'll put me up there and you'll let me give a message at camp. What's wrong with you? No, it's what's right. It's Paul's gospel. You love the truth. Give that. Preach that. And to be able to encourage ones that, you know what? Keep preaching. Even if it's just to one, Jeremiah, preach it. Amen. So you see, we need to have this passion for the bridal message and this passion of Priscilla and Aquila for the mystery of Christ in the church. May we profess it, may we preach it, and praise be to God, and preach nothing else. Preach it all. Preach that gospel, that mark. All right, verse 4. And this goes on about this. It says, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. That's pretty something, isn't it? Praise the Lord. What God did in that little couple that had a little church in their house. Now listen to that. Again, what he's saying there. All the churches of the Gentiles are thanking God for this little couple because they had a mega church? They had a church in their house. I want to emphasize that again. And people that love the Lord were so encouraged because of that faith, that truth in love, that spirit and truth that just radiated in this couple. And they may have only preached to a couple, five at a time in their home. But because of that testimony, it was preaching and is preaching today. Amen? See? That's the word of the Lord. That's the epistles that are read of men. And we thank for that. So, see, the Lord let us run as these precious ones. And as it said here, they laid their necks down for Paul. I love how the Word of God says to us, Lord, help me to lose my life for you. Let me have that kind of gain, praise God. This is the Lord must increase and ever increase in our lives. And we must decrease and ever decrease in our lives. But see what love he wants to grow and have reigning in us for the love of the truth, brothers and sisters. These are ones that have gone before us. These are the ones that we mark as examples. Paul brought these out to these precious brothers and sisters, and obviously they stand in front of us tonight because of the love of the truth. And we thank God again that there were ones that stood and gave thanks, even these churches. Now, here it is. Are we like that for the ones that have not just stood for, but have lived for, and even died for the truth? Are we appreciative like that? You think about this, brothers and sisters, ones that truly have preached the whole counsel of God. And I can give you examples of different things. And I'm talking about saints that know the truth and love the truth and even preach the truth. But man, they will say such hurtful things about brothers or sisters in the Lord that are preaching the Word of God. Now, if something needs to be corrected in what they're being preached, that's one thing. But I've heard stories talking about these different brothers and sisters in the Lord that whether it was, and I can't recall his name, the brother that hit that bridge abutment with that car. What was his name? Brother Webb. And such a man. And I thank God again that has come, and not to magnify this place, but the love of the truth in this place that came from our pastor and things. Always commending those brothers and sisters that love the truth. And I'd never heard anything but such glorious report of Brother Webb. But then hearing other, oh, well, you know, he was just this and that and everything like that. But, you know, I don't want to know about his personal life. I just want to know about the man's love of the truth. I thank God. You see, it wasn't listing dirty laundry of these people here. It was their love of the truth and love for the truth and the love for other people to love the truth. And the Lord help us to always be encouraged in this. If you're going to be disappointed about something, be disappointed about self-righteousness. Be disappointed about when people don't want to receive one another because, oh, well, my goodness, you sit over there, or that's the church you go to. Well, I can't talk to you. That's a horrible thing. That's awful. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, God help us to be loving saints. Love the body of Christ. People that are even hearing wrong or maybe even doing wrong, God gives you opportunity to show them love. Show them love. Don't shy away from that. Don't miss that opportunity. Not again to throw something in somebody's face, but you never know. The love of God, let me tell you something, that never returns void. It just doesn't, because that's His Word. It's truth and love. And in that, you never know what might be won and gained. It might be even rejected and ridiculed at that moment. But we're talking God, and what is time to God? So think of these things. And we need to pray for one another that we even grow more in the love of God. But I praise the Lord for these martyrs I read about, the Fox Book of Martyrs, and those that have stood for the truth. And thanking God for lives like a Brother Copley and a Sister Bodie, and ones like our precious pastor, Brother Hill, and those that are even fighting on right now. God help us to continue to lift up those hands to the Lord. I think about what a privilege it's been to encourage different brethren in the Lord going through different times. Brother Hines and Brother Hawkins and vice versa, brothers and sisters. Brother Ken, all of these different ones. They're loving the truth. Hallelujah. And encourage them. You know, people aren't receiving it maybe here or there. It doesn't matter. Preach the Word. Don't give them what they want, or we got a problem. Preach the Word. I can give you a letter every Sunday that I shouldn't have said that. But I'm going to preach what God gives me, and that's going to be it, again, by His grace. But this is the most exciting time, brothers and sisters, because the Word of God truly is like nothing else. When it's living and loving and alive in us, praise the Lord. We are epistles read of men. What a testimony we are to one another. And again, that faith that comes forth. And the evidence that we're the lovers of the appearing of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for this. Praise Him for it. As you go out of here tonight, we might be a little bit weary and a little tired, but I pray to God there's a smile on our face, thanking Jesus how we are cared for. And again, what we have been given, praise His name. But before we go on here, the name Priscilla, I know many of you know this, means ancient. So this little couple, Priscilla, that name means ancient. And Aquila means eagle. So you got an ancient eagle. And as the Lord again encouraged my heart in this, boy, that's what I want to be encouraged in, is a seasoned, battled full overcomer. That's what I want. Experienced in soaring. A vision proven through time. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's what it is. That's why I say endure hardness as good soldiers. That's this couple. And thanking God that it's just like Paul said, he was known as Paul the Aged. I mean, that guy was battered. If the Lord's had you and you're kind of older and all that and you're still looking good, wonderful. But I'm confident if you're running for God's best, you got battle scars. You got wounds. Hallelujah. And that's what's so wonderful about this precious couple. Again, ancient eagles, so seasoned in overcoming, proven, hallelujah, they've been proven in the Lord. He's proved Himself faithful in them, that nothing's hard for God. All right, let's go ahead and read verse 5 together. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. See, I've been telling you, that's the little church they had, was in their house. All right? And what a little mighty band, brothers and sisters. And again, I'm sure there were some big meetings at this time, but the ones for the ages, that church that's even spoken of here throughout the Word of God, was this little band of fully purposed saints. Hallelujah. So, but going on there, salute my well-beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Now we're going to end in this verse here tonight, so this will be about it. But there's so much here. And I love how Paul says this, salute my well-beloved. See, Paul didn't hold back, did he? Huh? You know, people sometimes, really, I just cannot figure it out. I love you. Oh, do you really love me? Oh, please get over yourself. Stop it. Stop it. My goodness. Talk about syrupy. This brother Paul, my well-beloved, my dearly beloved. Why? Because he's a lover. When you're in love, you can't help but talk the love language. You can't help it, can you? What, do you want to put a cap on it? Oh, come on. We're just going to shake hands. Oh, my God. Goodness, Lord, help us. Don't, and I'm telling you, those are little subtle things. It can make you cold so fast, and it can spread through a meeting. You know, yes, we want to be appropriate, and I do not want to ever again provoke anybody to any anger or any type of a feeling that would be uncomfortable at all. Do not push yourself upon people, don't do that. But when you're have that reciprocated love. That's the love of God. So how wonderful to be fully encouraged in that with the love of God. But this was Paul. He's a lover. So the love that he has, the abundance of his heart, that's what's being spoken. And here he says, my well-beloved. And what a statement this is. This word, well, these words, well-beloved, there's almost, now I'm not saying Paul had favorites, but it's the favorite to Paul was just the love for Christ. Again, it wasn't the vessel, but it was the love for Christ. And this really almost implies this is like my favorite of all. But it was always Paul's favorite of all, because he says this many times, in a sense, whether it's well-beloved, dearly beloved. He said, well, how could he love all those people? Because it was Christ in them that he was loving. It was the same one. It was the same Christ in you. Amen? See, that's, again, where this all goes. It's to the praise and the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But how fitting this brother's name, Epaphras, means praiseworthy. Huh? Praiseworthy. Now, we know that we would never praise, in a sense, a vessel, but the treasure in this brother. This is what Paul was commending. This is what Paul was so thrilled about. This is what Paul was so thrilled about in any of these ones. And this is why they were praiseworthy, was because of their love for the truth. And he tells him, and the praiseworthiness is because he's of the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. And there's a couple wonderful, wonderful bridal encouragements as we close this up. If we can just stay with this, and Lord, help us to have this focus in your love here for just a few more moments. But bridal encouragements about this phrase, first fruit. Now, many times in the Word of God, I shouldn't say many times, but we hear this of our Lord and Savior. We hear this in different manners. And there's so many different encouragements, but real bridal encouragements in what this means about this brother. And again, not just the vessel, but the heart that's in this brother, this fully purposed heart. And first of all, this first fruit, it means superior to others of the same class. Now, not just superior, because they were from different walks or whatever, but of the same class. So, praise God. We are all, every child of God is a son of God. This is what this is getting at. But there is a superior, in a sense, there's more love, there's more enlightenment, there's a fuller fullness. The wineskin, the bubbling over, so it's superior to others of the same class. We're all saints, but praise be to God. These first fruits are ones that are preferred. First fruit also means ones that are offered first. Huh? Well, who's going to be offered first? Praise the Lord is going to be that bride, hallelujah, to Jesus. And that's that first trump rapture. And yes, they're the ones that love his appearing now and will meet him in the air, as the Word of God tells us there in Corinthians. Every man in his own order. Amen? And there is a different glory. There's a glory of the moon, which again is that reflected glory. Every star, one star differeth from another in glory. But then specifically, the Word of God goes in there and says, and the sun glory. Hallelujah. And we know, back then they didn't know one was reflected and one was burning from within. But as science has come to find out and all these different things, we know that the moon is a reflected glory. There's no power source within, in a sense, that's reflecting that light or giving that light. It's a reflection. Amen. And what a precious glory it is. The moon's beautiful. I was looking at it the other day again, and it just is stunning how beautiful our moon is. And praise God for that. But then there's the sun. You can't even look at that. You ever thought of that? Can't look at that. Praise the Lord. What about, it said about those four living ones. They were fiery ones, weren't they? Burning. You ever try to get really close to fire and look into a really raging fire? You can't even look at that, really. Starts to water your eyes up, smoking. Oh, can't see. That's what it says about all those priests in the temple when the, never mind, you know, cherubim gets going with the Lord, all that smoke and everything, they had to get out of there. Amen. Let him just ravish your heart with those things. Praise God. Hallelujah. But see, and then the second one about this first fruit, it means first portion. It also means the portion ready before the others. Amen. Amen. It's a portion ready before the others. That's the bridal company. The wife hath made herself ready. The wife's ready. We have types in that of the five wise and the five foolish virgins. The wise virgins were ready. They all knew that there was a wedding, but only the ones that were ready, that were wise, were the ones that had lamps full of oil. The ones that weren't wise had a lamp, but they had no oil. Huh? again and again and again and again and again throughout the Word of God. You know, just like the Shulamite said, the Shulamite was ready. Amen. She was of age, fully developed, but she had a little sister. Now, little sister saw about a wedding. Little sister thought, wow, that'd be great. But little sister was nowhere ready or at all to be ready to be married. Over and over, that same type. And again, it's precious because it's here, because this is the portion that is ready before the others. It's the first portion to be offered. That's what first fruits mean. So we thank the Lord. The greatest of that is our Lord and Savior. Amen. But this portion that we're talking about, now we're talking portion, rib portion, is that rib, praise God, that will be offered to him, in a sense, first. Praise the Lord. So we thank him for these things. Now, let's close with just a couple verses, a couple little bits of encouragement as we go here. In 2 Corinthians 9:2, and let's go over there. And this is talking about Achaia, because remember, as we just read, Epaphras was of the first fruits of Achaia, all right? Which is, it basically refers to Asia, but I thank God for this little encouragement. These are a couple instances of Paul mentioning Achaia. So in 2 Corinthians 9:2, you read Paul say this. He says, "For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many." I just love that. It just shows you again that this Achaia, they were ready beforehand. They were ready before the other ones were. And there was such a testimony of these saints from this place that was so encouraging to the other saints. And Paul couldn't help but boast about them and be encouraged and encourage others in the Lord about them. So now let's go over to 1 Corinthians 16, and this will be our final reading for tonight. But this is, I believe, really kind of enlightens about this Achaia and this first fruits and how incredibly prepared and readied these saints that came from this little, or from this region, is a big region, but these saints that came out of there. Paul says this again in 1 Corinthians 16:15. He says, "I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia." So here we're back to that first fruits again of Achaia, very similar like Epaphras. "And that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints." Isn't that incredible? They addicted themselves. There's just such a passion, a pouring out. There's such an encouragement that they have for souls. And again, for the whole counsel of God to be preached. Now Paul goes on, "that ye submit yourselves unto such." So anyone that would be like this, this fully purposed, submit to that. Submit to that preaching. Again, it's not because they're from Achaia. It's not because this guy or whatever it is. It's because of the love. It's because of the love of the truth. And this is where it goes back again. "That ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helps with us and labors." Everyone that helps with Paul's gospel, receive them. Amen. Same thing going on today. They love Paul's gospel, receive them. Receive them. "I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus. For that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied." Boy, how rich, how thankful this group is. "For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such." Are we that are such? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that are such. That's what I want to be. That are such like Paul. To follow Paul as he followed Christ. And this is what's so wondrous here. And brothers and sisters, there'll be far more many types and shadows in here if the Lord tarry, and in these names and the meaning. And just as, again, as the Holy Ghost, and I appreciate that, he takes the love of God and he sheds it abroad in our hearts. He does. He connects those love dots all the way through our lives. And I thank in Jesus for these things. And thank God for this time that he's had us with him together. Hallelujah. Let's stand and be dismissed.